The philosophy that you just described of allowing the patient to be involved in the decision if they want really is what happened in breast cancer. As you say, it wasn't like, well, we need to treat people. It was that we need to inform them. So do you think that essentially most people or all people with stage 2 colon cancer, assuming they're, you know, reasonably healthy, should be made aware of this as a possibility, or only, say, patients who are, quote, higher risk?
No, I think they all should be made aware. And I think that, you know, here we're going back to, well, we really don't have to talk about this because I don't think that it's worthwhile. I think that we ought to talk about it. I think that shouldn't prevent a physician saying, you know, I personally don't think that it would be in your best interest to do that, because I think we all have an obligation to our patients to give them that advice, and I think they want to have that advice from us. But on the other hand, they should have the data in the eventuality that they don't agree with our bias.
I wonder, too, how challenging it is to get into the mindset of someone who's just been diagnosed with breast or colon cancer facing a possible recurrence. And even if you are an oncologist who takes care of patients all the time, if you can really understand how sort of their mindset sort of changes and why they might want to get chemotherapy for 1% reduction in relapse rate.
Right. And I'm not sure that we have to really analyze what's going through their minds. I think we have to assure ourselves that they understand the information that we're presenting. And I think that your diagrams, I think, make it unequivocally clear what the benefit is with your little event icons. So it becomes very clear the number that benefit, the number that don't benefit. And you've depicted it very graphically. So I think individuals who are going to be in a position to have to make that decision and still deciding to go ahead with chemotherapy understand that the number of patients who are going to benefit is small. And yet, with those graphics, and you even went back and asked them whether they understood what it is that they had been told, and the answer was yes. So in spite of that, we still see that a significant proportion, even for 1% absolute benefit, and that's for high-risk 1% benefit or low-risk benefit, still would have elected to go forward with adjuvant chemotherapy in the form of oxaliplatin.
There's another interesting thing, too, also at the other end of the spectrum, which is that when we presented a scenario where there was a 10% reduction in absolute chance of having a recurrence, even though the majority of patients, you think about it, this is a 1 in 10 chance that you're going to avoid having an untreatable cancer relapse, still, there were 12% of people who wouldn't want to get chemotherapy in that situation. I guess that's the other side of involving patients in these decisions.
Absolutely. I think it's highly likely that that individual who, after being informed, even for 10%, decides not to go ahead and have chemotherapy, I think one has to respect that. It's not likely that a medical oncologist could have said to that individual, I'm going to go ahead and treat you with chemotherapy. The likelihood is they would have said no in any case. But I think that this information is very useful.
And you're avoiding 1 out of 10. Most people value that. But it's still not an all or none hypothesis.
But not everybody values
Absolutely.
It. And one has to be sensitive
right,
to that.
Right.